We are carrying on with our eyewitness preachers for the next few weeks. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 in a few moments' time. But I want to tell you a story about our church quite a few years ago. And I always use Liz as an illustration. It's usually, I don't have to ask her permission because I normally know the stories I'm allowed to tell and the ones that I'm not. Okay? And quite a few years ago, Liz was about 15 years old. So I know she only looks 17 now, but it still was quite a few years ago. And she was kind of in our youth group. And I said to her, okay, Liz, we're going to do these events once a month. Okay? And you're in charge. And she was like, okay, so she got a team together, and I wasn't allowed to come down until, like, the event was just about to start, and when it finished, I had to leave. She got a little bit bossy, okay? Just had to, you know, work on that a little bit in our mentorship sessions after that, but she decided to run these events, and it was when she was first beginning, starting out, and obviously now she could kind of do some of these events with her eyes closed, but it was when she was first starting out, she came to me and said, Joe, I've got the idea. I was like, okay, tell me the idea. And she says, there's this song that I really like. And it's a song all about spam. So I'm like, okay, I can hear it going around in my head. She says, we're going to do a spam Olympics. What? I mean, even for me, that was a little bit. She said, so I need lots of spam for this event. Most of the budget for that event, okay, went on tins of spam, all right? And so, you know, we were kind of doing this whole thing, and there was spam in socks, and there was spam that you had to try. Spam's awful, okay? Try to get a bunch of young people to eat spam. The way that you do it is you make it a competition, and the winner gets a prize, okay? And that's just, so she was doing this whole kind of event, and it was the first one that she'd done. They were called the Go Event. Events, okay, and Liz back then and still is now a phenomenal evangelist. But this was like where she began. Liz began her ministry with about 30 cans of spam. Okay, that is not a lie. Okay, she began ministry life. Okay, I know that what we see now is this sharpened, professional, amazing. But she began with spam. Okay, and so we did this event. The youth loved it. I mean, it absolutely rocked. It was absolutely brilliant. Our youth were like, this is like the best event. I'm like, excuse me, I've been doing them for years. But this is the best event. This is the best event. And they absolutely loved it. And I've had the privilege over the last 16 years or so of watching Liz and watching who she's become today. I still think there's a bit of that spam in her. Okay, sometimes when she comes up with ideas, she does things now and she tells me afterwards, because I've got to be the mature adult. I don't do that very well usually. But the thing is that I've had the privilege of watching her grow from the very beginning. So when I came to church, Liz was 11 years old. And so I've watched her grow from the very beginning into who she is today. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to us about a story in the Bible that has a very definite beginning. It has a middle. It has an ending. And I watched as kind of Liz grew through everything that she did. And you know, those early events were absolutely fantastic. But I watch what she does now, and it's absolutely incredible. And we're by no means near the end. I don't want to prophesy that one. Okay, but the thing is, I've watched her go from where she started from, which was this crazy kid who used to sit up trees and evangelize to people, sat up trees, okay? And I loved that spirit about her, to who she is today. And we're very much, you know, going into new seasons. And Liz knows that. I know that. We're going into a new season of where she's at the moment. And I've loved watching every season of her life. I've loved watching the beginning of it. I've loved watching as God does something in the middle of it. And for some of it, I've loved watching the end of it. And Liz is someone who, when she hands something on, when she does something and says, okay, now it's time for someone else to take the baton. She's a brilliant finisher. Not only was she a great starter, not only did the middle have lots of fun, but actually the end, she's a great finisher when she begins to hand things on. And this morning I want to tell you a story out of the Bible. And I'm going to read you this story, and I want to talk to you about the beginning, the middle, and the end of this story. Because if any of you have ever done any writing, or you took subjects in school that needed a lot of essays doing, you'll know that a great essay has a brilliant introduction a fantastic middle, and it ends fantastically as well. So all three areas of kind of the essay, the story, whatever, need to be good for the overall thing to be effective. And so I want to do that with this story this morning. We're in Luke chapter 5. We're starting at verse 17. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to that. It says this. One day, when Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he says, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew that they were thinking this and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." How many of you have kind of heard that story loads? Okay, I've heard it a few times, okay? But Luke here gives a great insight into what really happened here. And we can take from this account some things, I think, for us today. Like every good story, this story had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And what we're going to do is we're going to learn three lessons this morning, one from the beginning, one from the middle, and one from the end. Is that okay? And we're going to bring it to a point at the end where actually we need to make some choices on where our life is going. And I've titled this morning, "The Part That's Not Down to Jesus." Because you know what? Some of that this morning. So, the beginning of this story. Let's look at the beginning for a moment. Let's look at where the whole thing started. It started with a paralyzed man, four friends, and a savior who'd just been rejected from his hometown. We looked at that last week. Okay, Jesus walked through the crowd and he went on his way. Okay, it started with a paralyzed man and four friends. It started with a man who couldn't do anything for himself. It started with a man who would have had a tough start in life, who was plagued by illness, who would have been isolated because of his illness, who people would have looked at him and said, "There's some sin either in him or his family because this is what he's going through." They never put it down to life just happening and his body not working. They always put it down to there is something wrong somewhere in either him or his family line that makes him like he is. He did not have a brilliant beginning. He was judged, he was looked down on, and he had so many things that were working against him. He didn't have a great start in life, he didn't have a great beginning. Also at the beginning of the story, there were four friends, and there were four friends who just loved someone. There was nothing amazing about these guys, there was nothing incredible. We don't even have their names in the Bible. They were so insignificant, we don't know what they were called, but we know that they were there. Okay, the story starts with four friends who love their friend. The story starts with four guys who decide enough is enough. Today, we're going to let our faith take us on a journey somewhere that is going to see something change, not for us, but for our friend. This morning, their beginning was not one of these things where you would go, "I just know God is going to use them. I just know they're going to be amazing. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is on them." It was nothing. Their journey, their story began in obscurity. We don't know where they were from. We don't know where they lived. We don't know anything about their families. All we know is they had a friend who needed something. Four guys who had a friend. They loved him and they decided to do something for him. We're told that they walked through the crowd because they had a job to do. We're told that they accomplished something, but their beginning was simply they picked up their friend. Their beginning wasn't this huge meeting where, you know, the prophet pointed them out. Their beginning wasn't this huge event where, you know, they got the kind of Holy Spirit tingles or anything like that. This was their beginning. They bent down, they got a corner of a mat and they picked it up. There was no massive word from God, just that was their beginning. Their beginning was they had a friend who needed something. My question for us this morning is simply this: what is your beginning today? Maybe you were at the beginning of a season. Maybe you were at the beginning of something with God. Maybe you were at the beginning of a trial. Maybe you were at the beginning of a joy. But I want to say to you this morning, we all have a beginning. We all have a start. All the time in life, when one thing ends, something else begins. When one chapter finishes, another one begins. And I want to say to us this morning, wherever your beginning has been or is, that's okay. That's okay. Because all it takes is a God moment somewhere from your beginning and things will begin to change for your life. Wherever you are this morning is okay. Wherever you are starting from today is okay. Maybe today is going to become the first day of the rest of your life after you hear this message. Maybe today you need to start, you need to decide to make a new beginning. You need to decide, God, I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to start again with you. I'm going to start again with this situation. And God's going to say, where you start from is okay. It's okay if you come to God this morning and you've not made it. It's okay if you come to God this morning and you've messed up. It's okay if you come to God this morning and life is not what it should be. Because this morning, what matters is that you begin to start something that is going to see a change. Four friends picked up a mat. One man, not that he could have pretty much done anything to stop them, but one man said, okay, let's go for the journey, and laid down and let his friends pick him up. One man, four friends, they decided to start something and something great happened as a result. This morning I want to say it doesn't matter where your beginning is. What matters is who you let in on the journey with you. What are you lying on? What is your need right now? We all come with different sets of needs. We all come with different baggage. We all come with different joys and with different sorrows. Maybe this morning you're starting and you're saying, God, this is a great season that my life is starting right now. That is okay. Maybe you come this morning and your season is one of grieving. Your season is one of depression. Your season is one of illness. Do you know what? This morning, it's not where we start that matters. It's who we allow in on the journey with us that is going to change us or not. The man came to Jesus on the mat with all of his mess. The man came with everything that should have given him the reason not to come, and Jesus met him where he was. I love that about God. I love that about Jesus, is he meets me where I am. He meets you where you are. He doesn't expect us to stay there, but he meets us entirely where we are. Maybe you're like the four friends. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to start to begin wanting a miracle for someone else. Just as I was preparing this and thinking about it, God just really laid it on my heart, those of you who have got kids who are not following Jesus. Maybe this morning you're bringing them. Maybe this morning you're carrying them. And maybe this morning you need to start to believe again. Maybe, you know, you've got discouraged, and we'll look at that a bit later on. But this morning, maybe you're wanting a breakthrough for someone else. Your beginning today is not necessarily your need, it's someone else's need. And you have no idea how to meet it, but you know a man who does. That's the thing about the four friends. They could do nothing for this guy other than carry him to Jesus. That's all they had. That's all they could do. And so they picked up the mat and they began. And this morning, maybe for some of you, all you can do is take that burden, take that need, take that person to Jesus. But let me tell you, when you do that, things can change, because you may not be able to do anything for them. But we know the one who can. And so this morning, wherever you are beginning today, it's okay. It's okay. We don't need to have it all together. We don't need to have life all worked out. We don't need to have faith all worked out. In fact, the more I try and work faith out, the more I realize I have no idea about faith, because God then begins to teach me something completely different. So it's okay. Wherever you are this morning, it is okay. But it's who we go to on our journey. It's who we go and find. It's the people that are alongside us this morning that are going to make the difference. So the beginning for the four friends, for the man, was ordinary. There was nothing incredible in their beginning. There was nothing amazing or praiseworthy in their beginning. There was nothing that you would go, we know that they are going to go somewhere. Nothing of that in their beginning. Maybe you kind of think life has passed you by. Let me tell you, there may not seem a lot in your beginning, but when you take your beginning to the one who can do the miraculous, something great can and will happen with your life and with your circumstance. So the beginning wasn't that exciting. The beginning wasn't that unusual. The beginning wasn't that miraculous. The beginning wasn't that incredible. So let's go through to the middle of the story. Every good story has a great beginning. It has a middle. It has an ending. Let's go to the middle of the story. So if you're the man laid on the mat in the middle of the story, the only thing that's changed is your geography. You've gone from one place to another. Nothing has changed. The Bible doesn't tell us that as they went on their journey, feeling began to come back into his legs and that he could all of a sudden do things that he couldn't do before. He was laid on a mat. Nothing changed. You know, he didn't get to the middle of the story and all of a sudden say to friends, it's okay, you can put me down. I think God's done something already. He was laid on a mat. Nothing was changing in his mind. Nothing had changed in his circumstance. Nothing had changed. He was still lying in the same place as he was at the beginning. His geography may have changed, but that was only because of his friends. That had nothing to do with him. It had nothing to do with anything. And so this guy was literally being carried to the place where his God moment would occur. But he didn't even know that. The Bible tells us that his friends had faith, not him. So he didn't even know that. So he's got his mates carrying him. And who knows, maybe there was a bit of a wobble along the way. Maybe he nearly slid off. If I was carrying someone on a mat, I was going to do that this morning. And then I realized there's health and safety these days. And would not want anyone to be injured. And so the middle of the story didn't bring us anything incredible. Nothing changed for him. If you think about the friends in the middle of the story, you know, they're walking, they're coming into obstacles. The Bible tells us that they get to the place where Jesus was. They were nearing the place of the miracle. This is incredible. And there are crowds there. There are people there who have got more of an access to Jesus than they did because they were not carrying someone on a stretcher. So the Bible tells us that they go up onto the roof, that they begin to rip the... I would love to do this. I love this story. It's cheeky. I love this story. You know, there is nothing conventional about it. They go up onto the roof and they begin to rip the roof tiles. What do you think the owner of the house thought? What do you think if it was your house? All of a sudden you look up, there's a gaping hole in the roof and there's a body being lowered down, okay, into your lounge. What would you think? You know, they went through every single obstacle. They came up obstacle after obstacle, and they still knew what they were meant to do. You know, they must have gone prepared because we're not told that they asked to borrow anything or they had to scrap around trying to find things. They went saying, whatever happens, we are going to do what we think we should be doing. They were in the middle of the story. Nothing had changed, and all they were doing was coming up with obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Second thing I want to really talk to us about this morning is what can we learn from the middle of this story? Because for some of you, you've done the beginning. You're in the middle right now. You're in the middle of the season and you're still not, nothing's changed. Has God forgotten? Has God left the building? No, he hasn't. Nothing's changed. Nothing seems to be working out. In fact, you're gaining in how many obstacles you're coming up against. You're in the middle of your season. You're in the middle of your story. Let me tell you that this is the place where stamina needs to kick in. This is the place where you just need to keep going. This is, and do you know what? It's not kind of, there's no kind of, this is going to make you feel great. Because the middle of the story doesn't make you feel great. The middle of the story is where everything looks to have gone bad. The middle of the story isn't the place where you're going, God, this is an amazing journey. The middle of the story isn't the bit that people normally talk about when they give their story. They'll talk about the beginning. This is where it all started. This is what happened. And they'll talk about the end. But usually the middle part, no one wants to know about that really. It's the boring bit. It's the bit where things happen that you don't want to happen, and it's the bit where you need to create stamina and strategy on how you're going to move forward. Some of you today, and there's a part of me that thinks this is a church, we're in this part now. You know, we've done the beginning bit. And it's all been fab, and we've done like the ministry month, and it's all been brilliant. We're going to go into a season where, do you know what? Sometimes we're going to come up against obstacle after obstacle, but we've got to know what we're about. We've got to know what we're walking through the crowd to do, and we've just got to get on with it. Believe in God, even in the middle where God doesn't seem to be doing anything. Have you ever had that time? Have you ever had those times in your life where God just doesn't seem to be doing anything? Life hasn't changed. You haven't changed. God hasn't come through. You can't see a way forward, and everything else seems to be crowding in around you. Nahum, a book in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Guard the fortress. Watch the road. Brace yourself and marshal all of your strength. When you are in the middle of your story, of your journey, of your season, that is what you need to do. That is what you need to do. You need to find something in God, find your roots in God, and you need to be a person who does not give up. When you are like the friends, maybe you're taking someone to Jesus at the moment, this is the place where you will encounter the obstacle. This is the place where they'll come to an event and they'll not respond. This is the place where they don't want to know about your God. This is the place where, you know, where you're praying for the healing and the healing doesn't seem to be coming. It's the middle part of the story. This is the part where if we allow it, discouragement sets in, loneliness sets in, you know, The fighting to be heard or the fighting to move forward sets in. The middle part of a season like this makes you think that God has forgotten and others don't understand. Let me tell you, God has never forgotten. And more people than you realize understand. Even if it's not been the same situation, more people than you realize understand. And God has placed people already in your world who can come alongside you and encourage you. Maybe not always with the things that you want to hear, but with the things that they know got them through the middle of the season. With the things that help stamina kick in for them. But in the middle of your season, we have to do three things. We have to do more than this, but three things that we need to do in the middle of our season. Number one, are you all awake? Okay. Number one is you need to speak out why you're doing something. You need to speak out the promise of God over your life. Not just know it, but declare it, speak it out, pray it, tell others about it. We need to be people who understand that our words have power. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2, for 12 years was one of my verses. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. We learn to fear God, we learn to take delight in what he was telling us to do, and we believed that our children would be mighty in the land. We're still believing that. They've arrived now. We just need to really believe that actually the full promise is going to come true. The full promise of God is going to come true. Do you know what? We've got to find a verse. We've got to find a promise of God in the middle of our season and begin to declare it out. Begin to speak it out. When everything else is telling you, it's not going to happen. You see, the four friends, we're told at the beginning of this story, picked up the man and they went on their way. They knew what they had to do. If only we can get him to the foot of Jesus. And they got to the house. They looked at the crowds. They couldn't get in. And they turned, this is my interpretation, okay? They turned to each other and they could have done this. Well, that's it. We can't get in. We could sit here and wait for him to come out, but that's going to be hours. You know, we can't get in. Let's turn around. Let's go back. They could have said that. So many of us do that. You know, it's a little bit hard. So we're going to turn around and we're going to walk away. So that maybe they said, okay, right, we can get past the crowd. We just need to get up onto the roof. I still wonder, and I know that there was probably a hillside up to the roof and stuff like that, but I still think of houses like we have them. How did they get the guy on the stretcher onto the roof? How did they do that? You know, how he had to really hold on. Okay, how did they manage to do that? There was no obstacle that was too great because they knew what they were about. I think sometimes one of the reasons that we struggle is we don't always know what we're about. We don't always know the season that we're in. We can't always interpret what it is God is doing. But I want to say to us that in the middle of our seasons, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, in the middle of our season, we've got to learn to speak out the promise of God over ourselves and over those that we may be carrying on the mat right now. Secondly, we've got to pray in the miraculous. You know, when we're in the middle of our story, it's not a time to be silent, but it's a time to up the ante on our prayer life. It's not a time to be quiet. It's not a time to be passive. It's a time to up the ante on our prayer life. You know, often in this season is when people take their bat and ball home and give God the silent treatment. Have you ever done that? God, you're not doing what I asked you to do, so I'm not going to talk to you anymore. God, you're not doing what I asked you to do. No one really gets it, so I'm just going to stay over here by myself. I'm not going to do anything. Do you know what? When we do that, what is actually happening is we are putting a gag over our miracle. You're gagging the miraculous in your life because the miraculous is not just down to God. God creates it. God writes it. God authorizes it. God empowers it. But we need to receive it. And sometimes we need to stay long enough to receive it. Sometimes we need to stay long enough to see the breakthrough. So we need to pray in the miracle that we are asking for. And lastly, the thing that we need to do that I really believe we need to do more and more is that we need to sow in faith. Sow in any way you can into others' lives, into the work of God, in any way that you can. Because Galatians 6:7 says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man will reap what he sows. At this part of the journey, tiredness can set in, defeat can set in, all of those things can set in. But I'm telling you, church, it's time to rise up and sow again. If you're discouraged, encourage. Encourage. Sow. Sow with what you want to reap, because what you sow, you will reap. What you plant will grow. And we need to really get this into our spirit. In the middle of your lack, sow. In the middle of your barrenness, sow. In the middle of your discouragement, sow. In the middle of your loneliness, sow. In the middle of your heartache, sow. And in the middle of your joy, sow. Wherever you are right now, sow something into what God could do with you. Wherever you are right now, you need to be sowing something. A couple of months ago, we had a gift day in church. And Matt and I sat down and said, what are we going to give? And this is not what we did. We didn't look at what we had, which is probably a good job. We didn't look at what our bank balance said. We looked at what we felt we should give. And quite a few years ago, this was pre-children, when you had some spare cash. We set a thing in place for our giving. And we said this, and I'm pretty sure I'm okay to say this, but we said this, that whenever there was a gift day, whatever, we used to have quite a few gift days, the minimum that we would give is a month's wages of mine. And so that's the minimum. That's our start point. And so we came to this gift day, and we kind of looked at it. We didn't look at what we had, because there's no point doing that. And I said, well, you know, we once said that the minimum for us was going to be a month's wages. And I realized how easy it was back then to do that. And so he said, right, a month's wages. And we needed stuff doing in the house. There was all kinds of stuff, you know. We've got a damp course and everything being done on our hallway and stuff like that. And Matt could tell you all the, like, you know, the details of that. I just listen to the guy, listen to the money figure, and then we're good to go. They will just come and do it all. Matt understands it. I ain't got it right over my head. But we had all of these things coming in that we needed to pay for, that we needed to do. And we said, okay, this is what we're going to give. And we came, we gave, and nothing changed. You know, so then we had to live disciplined, very, very, very disciplined for a while. And a little while after, we got a phone call one day. And from Matt's mum, who had just come into some inheritance. And she said, just want to bless you. Just want to bless you. And so she gave us the figure. And between that and a few of the things that have come our way, because of some things I've done, God has totally and utterly redeemed what we gave. But it started with a sowing in the middle of where we were financially. In the middle of where we were, in the middle of, do you know what? We couldn't really afford to get the hallway done. All of a sudden, God's released that finance to us now. We can do what we need to do. Why? Because we sowed. Because a man reaps what he sows. What you sow, plant. You know, what you plant grows. I just want to really encourage you this morning that there are other stuff, you know, that's not necessarily just to do with finance, but, you know, if you are in the middle of your season right now, find out how you can sow. How can you sow into someone else's life? How can you sow into the house of God? How can you sow into our community? If you're a parent with young kids, how can you sow into the school that your children go to? How can you sow into anywhere that you set your foot? How can you sow into your workplace, into your work colleagues? You know what, church? It's not hard. It's not hard. All it needs is for us to go. We're in the middle of our season. It's a little bit tough. We don't like it. We sometimes feel, God, where the heck are you? Do you know what? I'm going to sow. Because what I plant will grow. What I sow, I will reap. And so this morning, you know, we need to speak out God's promise, yes. We need to pray, yes. But also we need to find a spiritual discipline in every season of our life. We sow in some way. In seasons of my life when I've gone through saying, you know, there's no one that I can go to and talk to, God challenged me and just said, well, make sure that other people around you don't say that. So sow into the lives of young leaders, sow into the lives of people that you can sow into so that they never stand up and say, I never had what she didn't have. You sow into anything that you can sow into this morning. This part of the journey causes tiredness. This part of the journey can cause discouragement. But I'm telling you, when you learn to speak the promise of God, to pray and to sow into the lives of others, something will begin to change in your circumstance. Something will begin to change in the things around your life. So we come to the end. It's got a few moments. We come to the end and we're told that the friends got up onto the roof. They took the roof tiles off. They lowered the man down to Jesus' feet. And then his moment came. Do you know what? That man didn't wake up in the morning going, this is my day. He woke up in the morning thinking, I'm going to be laid here tomorrow. But all of a sudden, they lowered him to Jesus' feet and his moment came. Can you imagine how you would have felt, either as one of the friends or as the man on the mat? You know, you lowered your at Jesus' feet. This is the moment. And Jesus turns and he says, your sins are forgiven. How many of you would have been gutted? If we're honest, I know that we know that that is a bigger miracle than get up and walk. But when you go with the specific thing of, I want to walk, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, my guess is the man thought, oh, cheers. Thanks. And all of a sudden, Jesus did it to teach the Pharisees a lesson and the religious people a lesson. And we all know that reading it now. But that's if you were in his shoes, if you were in the friend's shoes. If I was one of the friends, I'd be shouting down, that's not why we brought him. Jesus, you got it wrong. You heal the sick, come on. We're not told that any of his friends did that. They were probably a lot more disciplined than what I would have been. But all of a sudden, his moment came. And this is what Jesus said. And this is where I really want to kind of bring it down to something this morning for us. Jesus looked at the man, he said, okay, get up, take your mat, and go. The friends are on the roof. The friends can't do anything. They've lowered him. But now they're up there, he's down here. So they're watching this unfold. Your sins are forgiven. And then Jesus says, right, you get up, you take your mat, and you go. And I can imagine being one of the friends, I'd be shouting down, someone help him. Someone give him a hand. We're not told that any of that happened. You know, they saw that their faith was about to change a man's destiny. They saw that their faith was about to change the outlook on his life forever, to change the way that he was going to be able to live. Okay. And my guess is that at that moment, when Jesus said those words to him, every obstacle they had encountered was worth it. Do you know what? There will come a time for you, if you are carrying someone else's burden to Jesus, there will come a time when every obstacle becomes worth it. Because you see God do what only God can do. But this is the bit that Jesus doesn't do. You see, the thing is, God writes the miraculous. He creates the miraculous. He empowers the miraculous. But it is our response to what he says that will bring it to pass. So how do we navigate the ending is my third question to us today. There is one big thing that will say whether the miraculous will be released in our life or not. Are we being obedient to what Jesus is saying? Do you know what, church? A lot of the time we expect Jesus to do it all. We expect Jesus to do everything. We expect God to do everything. And actually, a lot of the time, if we will just do what he says, the miraculous will be open to us. The miraculous will usually depend on our cooperation. Do you know what? God could do it all. God could do it all. He could just come and in a moment he could change the known world, the world as we know it. God could do it all, but this is the reality, is that God chooses to manifest himself in and through humanity. God chooses to manifest himself, to make himself known through you and I. And it's our response sometimes to what he says that is going to bring in the miraculous. It's our response to what he says that sometimes will either stop God moving in the way that he wants or will give him a wide open space. You see, we say it's all down to God for the miraculous. The actual work of the miraculous, yes, it is. But we need to respond to God. We need to respond to the miraculous. Luke 5:17 says this. I love this verse. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. I'm going to teach you a bit of Greek. Are you ready? The word power that it uses there in this account in Luke 5 is the word dunamis. And it's the word used to describe the power that Jesus operated in during his earthly ministry. Okay, so are we there with that? Acts 1 verse 8 says this, but you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts chapter 2 says this, that the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus just gave the disciples, you will receive power. It was a promise that he gave them. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off. When it says all who are far off, it doesn't just mean geographically, it means generationally. For all who are far off, that's talking about me and you. Okay, so you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for all who are far off. The word power in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is the word dunamis. Jesus said to the disciples, you will have the same power that I have had. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have the same power that I have had. The power that I've operated in and in all of my ministry is available to you. And then it goes on, because we're told in Acts 2 that it's available to us. To all who are far off. Listen, I want to break into song right now. Great kids song that, but we won't do that. The promise in Acts chapter 1 is also for us. It's the same word and it's the same power. We need to learn to respond so that the ending of our seasons can be written in power. So that the ending of your story, that thing you are in the middle of right now, that thing you were at the beginning of, that thing that you're thinking, has God forgotten? It, does anyone understand? No, God hasn't forgotten. And yes, people probably do understand more than you realize. That thing, the same power that Jesus operated in Luke 5, when he told the man, get up and go. And the Bible says the man got up and he went and he rolled up his mat and he took his mat with him. Do you know what? That same power that Jesus operated in is also available to you and I if we will just come and allow God to use us in the way that he wants us to. There are two things that need to happen when God comes. Quickly go through these. Number one, God won't do what you can do. There's no point asking God for what he's already given you. There's no point asking God to do something that he has already done. This morning I want to tell you, if you already have it, God's not just going to come and land it in your lap all over again. What is in your hand this morning? Maybe you're praying for finance. Maybe there's a way you can make finance. Maybe there's a way you can earn finance. This morning, God isn't going to do everything for us. Jesus looked at the man who was laid on the mat and he said this, get up. We're not told that he bent down. We're not told that he got hold of his hand. We're not told that he did it for him. But what we are told is that immediately the man's response was he got up. He took his mat and he went on his way. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. God won't do for you what you can already do for yourself. And the second thing is simply this, that our obedience will precede God's power. Sometimes one of the reasons we're not getting what we're coming to God for is that we're not doing what he's telling us. God authors, creates, and writes the miraculous over our lives, but it is our response to what he says that will cause it to become a reality. This morning, do you know what? God wants to come and do something in your life. He wants that miracle over your world. But maybe there is something that you know God is saying to you. Maybe there is an area of your life that you know God's. And if you're thinking of something right now, it's that. And until we come and we lay our lives at the foot of the cross, you see, the friends lowered the man and they put him at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes we've got to come to the feet of Jesus again and we've got to allow God to do something in us. And so this morning, I don't know where you are on your journey. Maybe some of you are at the beginning. Today's going to be the beginning. Maybe some of you need to start over today. Maybe some of you need to decide, actually, today's the first day of the rest of my life and I'm going to see some change. I'm going to begin. And where I'm beginning is not a great place. Where I'm beginning, this is what's going on in my life, but I'm going to begin. Maybe this morning you're beginning by picking up a corner of the mat that, you know, you're going to carry someone's burden to Jesus. So I'm thankful to God that when things are going on in my life, that I have people who carry my burden to Jesus for me sometimes. I love Maggie. You know, whether it's a personal thing or whether it's a church thing, she'll come to me and say, what do you need us to pray for, Joe? What do you need us to pray for? Do you know what those people who meet on a Tuesday morning are doing? They're just picking up a bit of the mat that I'm laid on. And they're carrying it to Jesus. As we ask them to pray for the sick, this is what they're doing. When they come and they pray, they're just picking up a bit of the mat. And they're carrying, and it might be spiritual and not physical, but they're carrying people to the foot of Jesus. And when you lay things at the feet of Jesus, let me tell you, the miraculous can happen. When the man was laid at the feet of Jesus, not only was he healed, but he was forgiven. And we know that that is a bigger thing than our physical healing. This morning, you might be in the middle. Keep going. Please keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. So often we miss out on the ending because we give up in the middle. Don't give up. So glad that as a church we didn't give up when everything was fighting against us on numerous occasions. You see, life is full of seasons that have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So we come out of one season and we'll go into another. And when we learn in the middle of the season that we're in right now to keep going, do you know what? When we get to the next season, we'll just do the same. So glad that time and time again, our church has decided to keep going. We've prayed it through. We've agonized it through. We've fought our way through sometimes. Sometimes got there by the skin of our teeth, but we just keep going. And things change and the miraculous happens. There was a day we could never imagine life in this building. We just keep going. We just kept going. If you're in the middle, keep going. Please keep going. Because the end of the story will come. And God will do something incredible in your life. And maybe you're at the end of a season and you're just one push away from that miracle. You're just one step of obedience away. God, if I do this and you don't come through, if you're beginning to ask that question, do it. God, if I do this and you don't come through, I don't know what's going to happen. Take a leap into the unknown. Because when we do that, God will always catch us. God will always do something incredible. And whether we see the end as a perceived success or a perceived fail, do you know, I don't think there's any fail in heaven. The only fail is when we don't trust God again. Because God knows our end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the Bible tells us. He's the beginning and the end. God doesn't just look at your situation in isolation. He sees your situation as part of the jigsaw puzzle of your life. That until you leave this earth and you go to be with Him, it's not finished. So this morning,